I told them the other night, I said, I might have taught or dealt with so much or shared so much heresy, maybe God just didn't let the recorder run. And so everybody couldn't criticize what a heretic I am. But today we'll try to go down through here verse by verse and see what James has got to say. Verse 1 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Now, what I'd probably like to do during Sunday school is have you, like, we'll act like a black church. I might have some of y'all read the verse. Alright? And then, yeah, just let you participate. I like to let people participate in a class. And, you know, the only war a child of God ever ought to have to really deal with or to be between righteousness and unrighteousness. And I believe you can look at this thing, if you did look at it like this, I think you could rightly say that, boy, there's a lot of this junk goes on inside of a house of God that just ought not be. Is that right? I mean, I don't want to look at it that way today, and I'm not going to try to deal with it that way, but how many times have you seen junk go on in church between two different people or three different people or any group, any number of people, that just ought not be? And James has said, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? You know, husbands and wives, they just, sometimes I'm telling you, man, it seemed like they're at war with each other. And James said these things ought not to be. But he said, let me tell you where they come from. He said, I'm going to tell you, they come from whence. He said, where are they coming from? I'll tell you where they come from. Even of your lust that war in your members. Now, but what I want to look at this morning is that the war that's going on inside of you. Right. Not so much the wars that's going on in your home or maybe the wars that can break out in a church or so somewhere, but there's a war that goes on inside of you. And James said that this war comes because of your lust, because you have lust in your members. He said in your heart, there's a problem. That's what he's trying to say. In your mind, there's a problem. In your hands, you have problems. You have a problem with the things that you want to look at. You have a problem with the things that you want to hear. You have a problem with the things that you want to say. He said you have these wars because the lust that's in your members. Now, when we think about lust, immediately, for some reason, America is so televised. What I mean by that is we're so perverted that immediately we go to a sexual content when we think about lust. We think about a man lusting after a woman, and yes, they do that. That's not necessarily what James is talking about here. Yes, he's dealing with sensuality because lust comes through the senses of a person. Things that we want, things that we desire, and man, the stuff that goes on in our mind, boy, is there not some wars from time to time in our mind? Sure it is. We have to battle it because of this thing that's in us called lust in our members. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 1:4. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what he's saying. Corruption is in your life because of lust. Corruption is in this world for one reason. How did corruption get into this world? Through lust. It was the gateway for corruption. Lust is the gateway for corruption. Friend, there was nothing in this world wrong. Not one sin ever recorded until somebody had some lust in their members. She looked at that fruit and began to desire that fruit. And because of that desire, because of that covetousness, because of that lust in her members, it opened up a gateway of corruption. Right. And here we are today. Corruption is here because of lust. Let me say on behalf of taxpayers that love God, I don't care how high you build a wall. Okay? You can build the wall from here, praise the Lord, to kingdom come, and you can build it so high that you couldn't climb the wall. But I promise you one thing, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump or nobody else will ever build a wall high enough nor long enough to ever quench the corruption or put out the corruption that's in our world today. You cannot get rid of corruption until you get rid of lust. You'll never stop dope from coming in from Mexico until Americans quit wanting to get high from the dope that they got over Mexico. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care what you do, ladies and gentlemen. Corruption is going to be as long as there is lust in our members. As long as people want to do wrong, friend, I'm telling you, there's going to be wrong to do. That's right. You can build all the walls, spend all the money in this world. You can go all the classes. Listen, you can go to all the classes. You can become all the better use that you want to. But friend, until you learn how to control that lust, you're going to deal with corruption in your body. Right. And in your mind and in this world, in this life. He's not dealing necessarily like we think of lust so much as the man on the woman, but this is the attack that's on our mind. It's an attack that we have on our heart, ladies and gentlemen. It's things that's in our heart that we don't even most of the time realize it's there. But these lusts that proceed out of the heart of man, it's things that we like to touch and say and feel, etc. Look at James chapter number one. Now, if I had to title this today, I don't know how to title things most of the time. I just try to read the Bible and go down there through it. But church, if I had to title this, I would say maybe two things. How to be happy in this life. How can I be happy? Because I'll be honest with you, or I should say, how to be close to God. How can I be close to God? So, you know, if I had to title this thought today, that's what it would be. How to be happy, or better yet, how to be close to God. And, you know, one of the things that's keeping you from happiness is the lust that's in your members. Right. One of the things that's destroying the homes in America. One of the things that's destroying churches. One of the things that's destroying lives, relationships, fellowship between children and the Father. Listen, is the lust that's in their members. Right. Okay, man, it's amazing. Wanting. Well, James chapter 1, verse number 14. Look at what it says. You got that, Miss Holly?
Yes, sir.
How about reading that?
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away
of his own lust and enticed. You know why most people can't get help from the Word of God? The reason most people cannot get help from the Word of God is because nothing is ever their fault. Nothing is ever my fault. It was a happy day in my home when I realized the stuff that's happening in my home was not my wife's fault. The stuff that was happening in my life wasn't because of my neighbors. It was not because of my boss man. It was not because of my work partners. It was not because of the clientele that I work. Listen, folks, the reason things is wrong in my life is because of me. Me. Listen to what he said. He said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his boss's lust. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his wife's lust. Every woman is tempted when she is drawn away by her husband's lust. Everybody is tempted when they're drawn away from a mama or by a mama or a daddy's lust. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not what he said. And you see that. He said you're tempted when you're drawn away by your own stinking lust. Amen. It ain't nobody's fault but yours. You ain't happy today, it ain't because of the church. If you ain't happy today, it ain't because of a spouse. If you're not happy today, it ain't because of a brother or sister. It's not because of any of them. It's because you have a lust problem warring in your members, and it's keeping you from finding real happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. It's corruption. Corruption and happiness don't dwell together, friend. And So he said, it's not somebody else's lust problem. It's your problem. We're tempted by our own lust. We're drawn away of our own lust. And then he said, and enticed. It's our own fault. It's our own problem. Bad news for that crowd that wants to blame everybody else. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Amen. We need to start circling ourselves when it comes down to looking for a problem. I remember Brother Dean saying, if you was to draw a 16-inch circle and stand in it right slap in the center of that circle, you'd find your problem. And we are our biggest problem. You know what'll ever happen if you ever do get saved? If you ever do meet Jesus, if you ever do come face to face with the King of Kings, I promise you, you're going to come to the place where you realize that this junk is your fault. When I was out there in them woods, and I use it all the time, but when I went out there in them woods, Zach, I did not blame my mama and my daddy for splitting up. That was not my fault. That was not my problem. That was not my problem. I did not blame everybody else in the family. I didn't blame my cousin for teaching me how to smoke dope. It was not his problem. I got out there in them woods that night. I realized everything wrong in my life was my fault. Right. It was me. It was me. I did what I did because that's what I wanted to do. I had lust worn in my, you understand? I had lust worn in my memory. I loved it, friend. I loved the taste of this world, the look of this world, the sound of this world, the walk of this world, the heart of this world. I loved that junk. And I'm telling you, you can blame it on everybody you want to. But the reason you're not happy is because you've got a lust problem worn in your own members, worn in yourself. Right? Amen. Well, look at verse 15, James 1. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sounds like a lot of happiness, don't it? He said, somebody read verse number 16.
Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Ladies and gentlemen, verse number 16 is a commandment of God Almighty. Do not err. That's a command. We always focus on those 600 some commandments in the Old Testament. There's over 1,500 in the New Testament. Somebody said, give me one. And I've told you 100 times in here, walk in the Spirit. That's a commandment under the grace of God Almighty. One of the commandments under the grace of God Almighty is do not err, my brother. Don't wander away from this. Don't get away from it. You know why people err? You know why people go astray? You know why people get off into things? You want to know why people get into fornication, Zach? You want to know why people get into drunkenness? Because why people get off into gambling problems? You want to know why they get off into, ever sin known unto man? Because it's a lust problem, a lust problem, a lust problem. So preacher, explain that to me. I'll tell you right now. We've seen it a million times. Boys and girls can come to age and they start looking at each other a little bit different. And when you start looking at each other a little bit different, things start happening in your body anyway. And because you got a lust problem in your eyes, maybe in your heart, in your mind. I'm telling you, friend, when you're enticed, if you err from this thing, I promise you're going to get caught up. That's right, you'll get caught. You know what I've never seen? I've never seen sin bring real happiness in a person's life. Never.
Yeah.
I don't want to be ugly and I don't want to be, rude. I'm not going to mention a name, but my mama's got a brother. We've got, kin folks that they got more money than they know what to do with. They got more. Son, there's nothing in this world that can make them happy. Nothing. I mean, they're happy for a little bit, and man, I'm telling you, by the time they get paid, Eric, they can put them about a $10,000 wad of cash in their pocket, and I've seen it time and time again. I mean, man, have a roll up there, and stick that thing in that pocket, be $10,000, and I mean, on top of the world. But when that money's gone, so is that on top of the world. I've seen it. How many times have we seen it when they go on vacation and they spend, $2,000 for a meal. $800 for a meal per person. And while the oh, man, we spent $800. And they come back and they're miserable as nine devils. I mean, it's amazing. Happy for a minute. That's not true happiness, ladies and gentlemen. That's called a temporary thing. And, you know, what are you saying? I'm just saying, man, they just take and they take and they take and they won't and they won't and they won't. And for a little bit, just for a season, that thing seems to make you happy. But I tell you, friend, it don't take long for them seasons to run out and you realize, man, I just spent $10,000 and I've got nothing. Buy one tractor don't make you happy, get another tractor. And you just can't get enough. You can't get enough. And materialism don't satisfy, don't make you happy. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with taking nice vacations. There's nothing wrong with eating nice meals. There's nothing wrong with, and boy, I had a nice meal last night. There's nothing wrong with nice clothes. There's nothing wrong with nice things. I'm not talking about it. I'm just saying that stuff ain't what makes a person happy. That ain't how you get to God. That ain't how you live close to God. Well, what's this? He said, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's what your Bible says. The problem is not them, but maybe. You ever thought about this? You just want to fit in. Do you understand what fitting in is? It really is. Do you know what wanting to belong, Zach? Wanting to be accepted? Wanting to fit in? Wanting to be one of the guys, one of the girls, one that's in the clique? You know what that is? You know what your Bible calls that? Calls that lust. We call it peer pressure today. Let me tell you what peer pressure is. Peer pressure is lust in your Bible. Because peer pressure gets up. Why is it pressure? Why is it peer pressure? Because the people around you are doing something and now they start pressuring you. And it is a pressure to you because you want to be cool. You want to be like them. You want them to like you. What is that want? That want is called lust in your Bible. Give us a flip if you're accepted in that loser crowd. It'll flip about that. Care if the drinking crowd accepts me or not. Care? Care if this world's crowd accepts me and their crowd or not. I don't want to fit into that junk. What are you fitting into? Nothing? What's the bottom line? What's it all going to amount to when it's all said and done? Misery? Scars? Regrets? Huh? Hardships? The way of the transgressor's hard, friend. Well, you hear people talk about peer pressure. Peer pressure is just wanting to fit in, wanting to belong, wanting to be accepted. That's called lust in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. It ain't always about a man and a woman. Sometimes just wanting to fit in, wanting to be accepted, wanting to belong, wanting everybody to like you. It don't make you happy. That's a hard way to go about it, I'll tell you that. You know what would be a good thing, and you've heard preachers say it all your life, the day you get a divorce from public opinion, what people think about you. I mean, I want to be liked, Zach. I don't want to be a cast out. I mean, I don't want people to, you know, not accept me. But friend, if I had to do wrong to be accepted by you, I'm not going to be accepted by you. Amen. By the grace of God, we won't go there. But, we ought to strive. Instead of fitting in with this old world, we ought to strive to fit in with Jesus. Amen. So I have fellowship with him. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. God help us. It ain't peer pressure. It's called lust. Back in Genesis, the Bible says that it repented God that he made man. It repented God that he made man. What does that mean? Don't mean that God had to repent God's sin. That ain't what that means. That means it grieved God that he made man. Because man had become so vile, so wicked, so wretched, so corrupt, so eat up with a lust that was warring in his members. Man was indulging in that lust. Man was enticed by that lust. Man didn't put, he erred from the word, he erred from the truth. And I'm telling you, he indulged in those lusts and it repented God that he made man. God said this. He said, I regret I even made them. It grieves me. I wished. Grieve God. Why? Because man had so given into his lust that it grieved the very creator that made him. Grieved him. About that. I'd hate for my life to grieve God. You know that's never changed. That has never changed. It's a grievous to God for you and I to walk in disobedience to his commands. When you walk in open rebellion, when you just slam the lights off in the Word of God, when God just shines light, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm talking about how to be happy and how to walk, how to be close to God. When God turns the light on in your life through the Word of God, he shows you something, he preaches to you, he reads to you, something out of that Word of God, and you just shut that off, it's like turning the lights out. That's a grievance to God. That's a real grievance to a holy God. I don't want my life. Listen, that's no way to be happy. You can't find happiness grieving the God that made you. You can't have real peace. You can't really walk with God when you're grieving the very God that gives you that breath to breathe. Huh? I'm telling you, man, I see the arrogance and just the cockiness of America and, man, how we're just so proud of our sin. I mean, it don't take long. You can go down there to the Walmart or to the grocery store. Everybody will get groceries. They'll put their eggs in a bag. They put their celery in a bag. They'll put their cereal in a bag. It doesn't matter, but they get them, bless God, a 12-pack or a case of Budweiser, and they carry that stuff out about on their shoulders. So proud of it, want to display it. You understand what I'm saying? Just watch it, man. I mean, they're so proud of it. Used to be a time in America that, well, we called it bram bagging because was kind of ashamed, didn't want people to see what we was doing. So, but now, friend, everybody just kind of carries that box out there all by itself for everybody to see. Proud of it. You know what? God's the one that gave them the energy to walk in that store. He's the one that gave them the breath to breathe so they can inhale and take another drink. God's the one that gave them the very life that they're taking and grieving him with. And at the end of it all, friend, when they have to stand up there before that judge, and I mean, everybody don't have to. Some people drink all their life and just get by. I'll tell you what they're not going to do. They're not going to drink and be happy. Why are they drinking? Hey, can I be honest with you? Most drunks never do drink because of the taste. I never met a drunk that tasted drunk because, boy, I just love the taste of beer. Nope. They didn't drink because of taste. Well, Brother Pat said he never did drink because of taste. He drank because he wanted to get drunk. That's right. And why did he want to get drunk? Because he didn't have nothing real. Didn't have nothing real. Trying to find some kind of happiness, some kind of contentment, some kind of peace in life, and couldn't find it. It's no fun to feel grievance in your heart. I imagine probably about everybody in here, their heart from one time or other has been grieved over something. I don't care if it's the death of a dog. I mean, if you've had a dog and you've been close to them, man, to see that dog get killed, that's a grievance, friend. Maybe it was through a child. Your child just ripped your heart out. That's a grievance. I mean, to see your children to do something that, man, you really don't want to see them do. Go in a direction that you know is no good, and it ain't the way you raised them, and it ain't what's best for them, and man, it's just a real grievance to you. You know? Maybe through somebody suffering, maybe there's a family member that suffers, and man, it's just a grievance to your heart. It just hurts. That's what God does when he sees a people indulging in lust, consumed with this old stuff. Lust. No way to be happy. In the midst of this old wicked world, what's this? Would you believe that in the midst of every bit of this stuff, Zach, in the midst of all this wickedness, hey, listen, friend, there was a man back in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. The Bible says, you're talking about wicked. You're talking about a wicked generation. You go back there to Noah's days, yeah, we live in a wicked day. But you can go all the way back there to Noah's days, friend. There was some wicked junk going on. People was indulging in that old lust. But the Bible says that there was one over in Genesis 6, I believe it's verse number 8, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I don't care how bad this world gets. I don't care who's doing what. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, if Noah had any brothers or any sisters. He could have, he could not have. The Bible don't say. But I can promise you one thing, friend. There was enough pressure on him from the outside world. Hey, he didn't wake up one morning and go down there to the job like me. Noah didn't get to go to the job like I did and find a bunch of lumber laying out on the job. Noah had to get up and go cut a tree down. And you just shape that wood and strip all the limbs and all the bark and just prepare that and shape that log into what it ought to be. And everything. So he had to mill everything himself and build this ark. Now, Brother Don Crowder told me they got a replica of it, I believe, up in Kentucky. He said, Brother David, he said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, it's just massive. Just massive. He said, it's just amazing the size of this thing. And it's a replica of the ark. And just to think that Noah said out there, listen, ladies and gentlemen, Noah was a laughing stock. You hear me? He wasn't worried about fitting in. Everybody made fun of him. They laughed at that dude, man. I mean, he sat out there and preached righteousness and told people, you better get ready. I mean, rain's coming. They laughed at him, son. They mocked at him. He become the joke of his whole community. I mean, everybody had forsook him. The Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What is that? I tell you, son, he never did give in to that lust. You know what God did for him? He gave him his three sons, their wives, his wife. He got in that ark, friend, with his family. I can tell you that much. I tell you, you may not take a whole lot to heaven, but I tell you what you can't take your family. You'll honor God, friend, I promise you, God will honor you. You can take your family, you can't take your house, you can't take your boat, your car, your clothes, you can't take, but you can take your wife and your children, amen. You can take them. That's right, boy. What else would you rather take? Old Noah lived in a wicked society, but you know what Noah said? He said what Apostle Paul said. He said, his grace is sufficient. That's right. He found grace, friend, for that need. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when lust takes and starts that war in your mind. That lust kicks in and starts that war in your members. And I mean, it is a war, friend. It's not a fight. It's a war. You know what we have? We have grace. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know what would be good for us to do every once in a while? Just get real good and weak. Amen. Just get real good and weak, Zach. Quit trying to stand on our own. Realize that we're just nothing and lay over in Jesus and let his strength be made perfect in our weakness. God is attracted to your weakness, ladies and gentlemen. He's attracted to that. He'll use that. What you gonna do about old Lot? Huh? What about old Lot? Man, you talking about lust? There he was with his uncle, that man of righteousness, huh? The friend of God. The Bible says that Abraham told Lot, he said, just pick what you want, son. You can have it. You go. You get first dibs. And the Bible said that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. You know what Lot did? He started looking. The very first thing Lot ever started doing, he started looking out there. At lust, friend. He was being enticed and he began to look. You know, I've said it in here. Whichever way you're leaning is usually where you're going to land when you fall. If you're leaning toward this old world and you take a good trip and fall, you're going to probably land in this world. If you're leaning out there toward drunkenness, you're going to probably land in drunkenness. That's right. You get to lean in that way, friend. I'll tell you, when you do fall, that's the direction in which you fall. You fall in the direction you lean. I told you in here before, when we played football, they always taught us the low man wins unless you get a hold of a man, you know, just a stud that can, you know, turn you around. And I've had that a few times, son, some of them bell ringers. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about going in low, leaning in toward them and getting that momentum, and that low man usually does win. You say, well, I'm talking about you just fall in the direction you're leaning. That's right. That's why we always taught our running backs to run low and lean forward. That way, at least if you do fall, you can get another yard out of the run. That's right. Weak comparison, but it is what it is to me. You know what people do, Miss Holly? I've said all this before, but you know what people do before they ever start leaning? They start looking. Before he ever started leaning, ladies and gentlemen, his eyes got on Sodom over there and he saw all that was going on, man. I tell you, that lust kicked in. He started liking what he saw. Amen. Now here's the leaning part. Here's the part I don't get. Lot's down there in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. down there in that city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and them perverts is knocking on his door, and Lot is so twisted up in his mind that he calls them perverts brethren. He asked them guys brethren, and I went, why in the name of God would you call a bunch of ungodly perverts brethren? You know what I think, Zach? I think he just got so deep in he couldn't tell one from another. And that happens to us. We can't tell a lot of times. Man, I'm telling you which way's up. But you know what I got to thinking about a lot? I got to thinking, he had a good uncle. He got a good uncle. And I think about everybody sitting in this congregation. There's somebody in here that loves you. Somebody loves everybody sitting in this congregation. You have no excuse for living a life of Sodom than in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot could have got out of that anytime he wanted to, Miss Holly. Anytime Lot wanted out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he could have got his tail up and got out. He didn't want to get out. He wanted to live in that junk. He wanted to be there. You say, why? Because he had a good uncle. I believe any given time he could have got up, got out of Sodom and Gomorrah, went to see that old man of God and said, man, I need some help. I had to leave that nasty place. Nope. Nope. He stayed right there. Stayed right there and almost become one with them perverts. I mean, he identified with them, calling them brethren. Just blows my mind. He could have got out. Listen, friend, I say, don't even look in the direction of your lust. I'm telling you, because you start looking, you start leaning, you start leaning, you start falling. And God knows where you land is going to be a mess, and it's not a place of happiness. We read those books by Leonard Sachs and some of these other people, and I can see it, Zach, time after time, little boys and little girls, and how they're sitting on their bed, weeping their heart out, heart being broke, grief, destroyed, hurt. I mean, hurt, son. Because they started looking. That old lust kicked in. Man, it hurts, a painful thing. Tell you, I'd like to grab a hold of some at that time and go, how fun, how happy is this? You hear it all the time, and you made the statement there's probably more people in Davie County single parent homes than there is married homes with children anymore. But you hear it all the time, and people so proud of it, Miss Howe, oh, I'm a single mother at three. And they're so proud of that. And you know what? I want to say thank God for a mama that can, you know, that's been through, you know, whatever she's been through, and she still tries to keep that thing together and puts food on the table and clothes on the back. I thank God for her trying and working and doing everything that she can do. But that, friend, is not God's way. It's not God's way. It's not the way of walking with God. It's not the way of happiness. I'm telling you, that ain't God's plan. That ain't the way he wanted it. Let me ask you a question. Just you personally, you don't have to answer it. But if you lived in Lot's neighborhood, would you be there for another day? Would you live there for 2 days? I mean, so would you live in Lot's neighborhood for a day? I'm going to tell you something, buddy. I'd be willing to leave every stinking thing I got. And leave with the clothes on my back. Say, I am out of here. We're not quite there, okay? America's not quite there. But I'll be honest with you, as bad as America is, church, can I just be honest with you? As bad as America is, and it's nowhere near what Sodom and Gomorrah, nowhere near. Not yet. And Zach, every time we talk about some kind of a bathroom bill or we pass some kind of homosexual marriage to church, I start thinking of other places like New Zealand and stuff I can move. I'm not kidding you. I want out, friend. It's a grievance to me. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of that land. I want out of that, friend. I wouldn't live or not live for two stinking days. I'd junk that stuff, man. I'd load up, get out of there. Hey, look, you come with me or don't come. I'm getting out of here. I'm not staying here. You know where most of the church is today? Living right there in the middle of all that lust and absolutely loving it. Most people. You know whose fault it is for living in Sodom and Gomorrah? You know whose fault it is for living in the indulgences of our lust? It's your fault. It's your fault. Wouldn't it be easy to blame it on somebody else? And I know, son, there's people that's been through things, and I'm genuine. It's messed them up in the head. It's messed them up in the head. It's messed them up in the head. And they don't even have decent, normal lives as adults. I know that. But when it comes down to our lust, it's warning our members. When we start giving in, that's nobody's fault but ours. You're living in that mess because you want to live in that mess. There's help. There's help. There's people in this congregation that would help anybody sitting in this congregation. That's right. I don't know if anybody want to come live in my house. Half the time I don't want to live in my house. But if it came down to it, you could live in my house. That's right. That's right. If your situation was so bad, your world was so bad, your community was so bad, your life was so bad. Hey, friend, if I didn't have a place, and listen, I'm doing my dead level best to make plans to build a place where people can stay in this alley. I want to build me a new shop back there behind my house, and beside that place, man, I want to put a place upstairs in it, or a place off to the side where people can come and stay. Right. If Noah can stand in his day, ladies and gentlemen, and be the laughing stock and everything that he was, you and I can stand. I'm about done. Let's go back to James. Good night. That's only one verse. I want to get down about 8 or 9 verses today. It's Eric's fault. We'll blame him. Might as well. My goodness, I got blamed for their stupid cats. I might as well blame them for something. You ever seen a preacher get blamed because a person couldn't have a cat? Preach a message on cats. Carl Lackey said cats were demon possessed, devil possessed anyway. He always preached that. He believed that devil possessed. And I believed that until I had that little old stray come up, and it loved me so good. It loved me so good. You know, it's amazing, man, them things. I ain't going to talk about cats. Shut up, John David. James chapter 4, verse number 2. Listen at what he said. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You know why most folks can't be satisfied with what God has blessed them with? Look at them shoes that's on your feet. And if you anything like Michael, you might have a hole in the Bible, but somebody's got a hole in their shoe. Somebody around here's got a hole. You got a hole. But them pants you got on, that dress you got on, that little blouse you got on, that nice shirt you got on, let me tell you something. Say, man, I work hard. Yeah, and God give you the health to go work hard and obtain those things. Everything we've got, son, is for every good gift, a perfect gift, comes from God. That's right. And I tell you, man, he's blessed us, and most people can't even enjoy the blessings of God on their life because lust. They're never satisfied. And it's like, can't have enough. Man, what God's blessed. Paul said, I need to learn how to be content with whatever state I'm in. Hey, look, man, if this is what I've got, thank God this is what I've got. I'm so happy with what I've got. It's pathetic. Most people, the reason we can't be happy is because we want more, right? All right. I know people that can't be happy with the car they got. I mean, they got nice cars, but they can't be happy with the car they got because their friends got one nicer. We know people like that, don't we? I mean, we know people that have to go out and spend $60,000 because their friends got a car that costs $55,000. Am I kidding? They can't be happy with just having that $20,000 car. They gotta go get one sick. What is that? That's called lust, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, I tell you what. Can I be honest with you? I kinda like my bicycle. I kinda like my bicycle. It looks like I need to like it a little bit more often, but I do like it, amen. Well, folks, listen to me. I want you to get this if you don't get nothing else. I want you to understand this out of the book of James. Lust
is making you miserable. If you have misery problems, it's because the lust is warring in your members.
I'm just telling you, man, we like to blame it on everything and everybody else. When the problem with not being happy, with the problem with this war going on inside of us, and oh man, I mean, sometimes it turns our stomach. It's because of lust. Happiness is not bigger and better things, ladies and gentlemen. That's not happiness. But happiness is knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Right. I don't have a whole lot in this whole world, but I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty satisfied. I have a pretty good time in life. Zach, you're around me quite a bit. I enjoy life by the most part. You know, I just do. Look at verse number 3. We've got a couple minutes, church. Just give me a couple minutes. He said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You ask him with the wrong heart. With the wrong motive, with the wrong desire, that lust, you ask it upon you. He said, you ask amiss that you may consume it upon you. That word consume means destroy, devour. I mean, man, people just want and want, and look, they just trample all over. Listen, they don't even appreciate what they got. Don't even appreciate the things they've got. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship... Listen, he's not talking about a man being in the relationship with another woman that's married. That's not necessarily what he's talking about. He's talking about people. He's talking about Christians here that's been born again. They go off and indulge in the lust that they have and take part in this world. They're cheating on God. That's why he said that here at the end, over in the book of John. Hey, abstain from idols, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, man, a lot of times we set things out there and we get caught up in that stuff. That is called committing adultery on God. When things get in the way of God, when we put stuff before Him, as a child of God, you're committing adultery. Committing adultery. You're cheating on God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, men and women, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Can't be a friend. Can't be a friend. Whosoever therefore, listen, if you're in this world, but you're not of this world, that's what he's dealing with. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's just so. If you're going to fit in with this world, friend, listen to me, you're going to be the enemy of God. That's not how you get close to Jesus, is it? You cannot get close to God by getting close to this world. I said if I had to title this, I'd title it How to Be Happy or how to get close to God. You can't get close to God. You can't have a closer walk with Him getting friendlier with this world. That don't mean you don't befriend sinners. You be a friend of them sinners. But bless God, you don't have to drink beer to befriend a drunk. That's right. That's the philosophy, the theory of this stupid world we living in. You meet people out on the street. You talk to them about Jesus. Friend, they'll start telling them they have a beer in their head. I'm as much a Christian as you are. The difference between me and you, I can reach these drunks and you can't, because I can go down there at the bar and sit down and have a drink with them, and I can start telling them about the Lord right there at that bar. Hogwash! That was a very churchy word to say. That's the biggest bunch of bull junk I've ever heard in my stinking life. You're not going to win people by becoming what they are. You're not going to go out there. Listen, I know people that are drunks, Eric. I know people that drank and they know it's wrong. I know people that drank and have heard preachers talk about it's okay to social drink. I've heard sinners rebuke preachers going, no, it's not okay. I drink. I know what drinking is. Don't you try to tell me, preacher, that drinking's right. There's lost people got better sense than that, friend. I'm telling you right now. I have met some people on bar stools and they got better sense than that. They know what they're doing is wrong. And then here comes some little pansy butt modern religionist. These, oh, it's okay to socialize and drink a little bit. It's okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. The Bible said this, especially for preachers, don't even look at the junk. Amen. Don't even look at it. It takes a fool, man. The Bible said, who's deceived thereby is not wise. You won't be a fool? Mess with it. Go ahead. Bible calls you a fool. Mess with it. Well, you know what most people are? Most people are worse than I am. What I'm talking about, if you was to go with me to the outdoor shop, Michael, you'd see exactly
what I'm talking about. Son, I get down there to Gander Mountain or Bass Pro Shops or somewhere like that. I mean, I can even do it at Dick's Sporting Goods and get me up there in the hunting fishing department. I have to make it a point when I go over to Gander Mountain, do not go by the gun section.
Okay.
I get to coveting ever stinking good. Miss Holly, they got guns in there that'll reach around the corner and shoot your neighbor. I mean, I want that. I'm like, man, I want that. I'm telling you, and that thing's got a barrel on it. It's about that big, and it looks like a double-barrel pistol, and it's got a cool grip. And I'm like, man, I want that beautiful sight. And then I can look at that, turn my head, and there's another little German-made 22. I'm going, man, I like that German-made. I want that German. And I lift up my head, and I see a little rifle. Said, man, that's a good-looking rifle. Why, well, I like that. You know what it's like. You see, man, it take me 2 hours to get through the gun department. Now, go up there to the fishing department. I want 10 different rods, 10 different reels. Man, I get to look at all them rubber worms. I want this worm, and I want that worm. I want this jig and that jig. I mean, man, I want line. I want weights. I want everything. It's just how it is in people's life. We want a little bit of everything. When you start in giving in, listen, I could take my mortgage payment and start buying some of that stuff, and man, I'd be happy as, oh boy, look at his new gun. By the time the bank started calling, I'd be like, uh-oh. Oh, ain't no happy time, friend. I've been at the house before where they knocked on the door wanting their money, and I didn't have it to give. And I went, uh-oh, that's not a good feeling. That's not happy. That's not happy. It's not happy to hide back there in your bedroom and go, oh, Lord, man, I ain't got the money. Not happy. It's not happy. So, preacher, why would God let you do that? I don't know. Maybe to learn how to suffer with people that suffer. I don't know. Maybe to understand what it's like to struggle. Huh? I don't know. But, I know one thing. It wasn't happy. It wasn't a happy time. I've always tried to encourage young men, listen, don't take your wife and marry her without a job, without some kind of stability in your life. Don't drag her through that junk. Go get you a job, get you a place, get settled, man, you know, and then take on a woman where you can take good care of her. Don't make her go hide in the bedroom, will you? Instead of me having to hide with me, gonna be quiet, baby. And you talking about parting the Red Sea? Son, you get your wife to be quiet. It's like standing at the Red Sea. She don't listen to these recordings. Y'all don't tell her. I promise you, I'll deny it till I die. I gotta go.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just at least read it. Do you think that the scripture says in vain? The Bible says nothing in vain. Nothing in vain. Do you think the scripture says in vain? The spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy? No. What spirit? Is that the spirit of God? Is that the spirit of Jesus Christ? Lowercase a, that's the spirit of Jesus Christ. No, friend. That's that spirit that's dwelling inside of you. That's your spirit. Lusting. You think the Bible says that in vain? No, friend. It says that with a purpose because it's so, it's true. And he says, So what? What do we do? Verse 6 says, he giveth more grace. Oh, my spirit's lusting. It's lusting. It's now it's lusting to envy. I want it. I want it. I want it. God said, I give you more grace for that. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How many times did we see Jesus resist the devil? Three times he resisted Satan. And the Bible said the third time that Satan departed, but the Bible says that he departed for a season. And he came back. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you want to be happy in Jesus? Resist the devil. Depart from evil. It's good stuff. James chapter 4. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the scriptures. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, give us understanding. Lord, I pray for the rest of the service today that you'd bless, dear God, the people. Bless you, man. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.